I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to talk to you again this evening about baptism. We have discussed before that we can prove that baptism is an Old Testament ordinance. We can prove that baptism is a New Testament ordinance. We can prove that there is baptism where no ordinance is concerned, and that's spiritual baptism. The people who say that there is no such thing as baptism in the Old Testament disregard certain passages of Scripture as the one that we're about to read here, and the passages concerning John the Baptist baptizing. Jesus Christ was baptized with Old Testament baptism, and Jesus Christ, when he came to John the Baptist, he said that they were to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness is by the law. Well, Jesus Christ is a perfect sacrifice. In other words, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of Almighty God, died for our sins at Calvary. If Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of Almighty God, called the Lamb of God, then he had no sin. If he had no sin, then he never committed sin. If Jesus Christ never committed sin and fulfilled all righteousness, obviously the baptism that he experienced must have had something to do with the law, in fulfilling the law. But even if that were not the case, if Jesus Christ fulfilled any form of righteousness that is pertaining to water baptism, and if Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and the Bible says that he is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, obviously I could not gain anything in water baptism that he had not already gained in my behalf. So if I'm complete in Christ by believing in him as my Lord and Savior, if I'm complete in Christ as the Bible says that I am, by trusting that he died for my sins at Calvary, was buried and rose again on the basis of God having justified me, then for me to surrender to water baptism would be a reproach upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a reproach upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in that I would be trying to gain some form of righteousness that he already gained in my behalf. Therefore, it would be a reproach upon him. Therefore, I do not believe in, nor do I practice, water baptism. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about spiritual baptism, basically. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, notice, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea," and on he goes. Now, that the baptism that is referred to here is a type of our spiritual baptism is very clear when you consider the passage pertaining to it. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, baptism, I think that it can be proven that baptism refers to identification. In other words, we are identified in Christ by spiritual baptism, and I want to deal with that here this evening. But first, let's see how that this can be a figure of our baptism. Turn, please, to Exodus, and look in Exodus chapter 14. I want you to observe that there is no water involved. In Exodus chapter 14, look, please, at verse 22. Exodus 14, make it 21. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Please observe, they were walking on dry ground. They never got a drop of water on them. Turn, please, to chapter 15, and notice in chapter 15, notice in verse 19, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea." as he repeats this, you get the idea that he's trying to get it across to somebody that Israel didn't get wept. Turn, please, to Psalm 66. Notice in verse 6. Psalm 66. Start off, please, in verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him, and on and on. So I can establish a fact then. The fact is that the children of Israel were baptized under Moses, and they were baptized dry. Well, then the baptism must represent two things. It must represent the baptism of repentance, for they went under the water. Please observe that the water is on either side of them and the cloud is above them. Therefore, they are, as it were, within the water. In other words, God Almighty is preserving them through the water. But even though that would be a type of that baptism that is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it also would be a type of the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, in that the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ is an identification of each member in the body of Christ. Now, that's what I want to talk about here. That's what I want us to deal with tonight. The fact that we are identified in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit seems to bring confusion with people. There are those today that want to perform the so-called rite of baptism, and they don't want to admit the fact that Jesus Christ baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes the believer into the body. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see that there are three different ways that baptism is referred to here. Let me put them on the board up here. I'll say that I'll do it like a square here, lay it out like so, and divide it into three parts. Back here, there is only water. The cross is here. Over here there is water and Spirit. And over here there's only Spirit. This would be the book of Acts in here. In other words, there is only water baptism back here. John the Baptist baptized with. Never one time in a King James Bible does it say anything about John the Baptist baptizing in. John the Baptist baptized with water, and I believe it's about 5, 6, 7 times, something like that, baptized with water. Jesus Christ baptized with the Holy Spirit. But we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, not with, not in, by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's almost as if God Almighty pulled a trick on some people. God Almighty, it seems, just gives people enough rope to hang themselves. In Acts chapter 1, notice in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, those passages are absolutely clear. There's no way that you could miss that. Just as John identified the people with water baptism, and that's exactly what he did. Hold on the passage and go back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and notice in verse 29. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. In other words, then, God identified Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God by water baptism. There is no doubt about it. And in fact, Jesus Christ identified himself with the nation Israel in water baptism, just as the people were identified with Moses in the baptism in the Red Sea and in the cloud, just as we are baptized with the crucified, buried, risen Christ. We're identified with him having died for our sins, buried and rose again for our justification. We're identified by the Holy Spirit baptism. In other words, the Spirit of God baptizes us into the body. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, back in Acts. Go to Acts and look in chapter 2. He said, you shall be baptized. Said, as John baptized, you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, notice in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. In other words, John then, back here, identified the people in water baptism, with water baptism. Now let me show you how he did that. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7:28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he, and all the people that heard him. And the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. In other words, then they were identified by the water baptism. But if they rejected The baptism served two purposes. It identified the individual with a new nation that was being formed, and it separated that new nation from the old nation, you see. Just as the Red Sea separated Israel from the religion of the Egyptians, water baptism separated the new nation, which it turns out there are 12 of them there, along with Jesus. It separated them off from the rest of the Israelites. The Israelites were idolatrous rascals. They were an evil and adulterous generation, he said, that seeketh a sign. And he said, there'll be no sign given to you but that of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, the baptism was a sign, all right. The 12 that were identified, Jesus is identified. These are identified with the new nation. But all turned their back on him before he died. And so Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth, resurrected, and Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, was a sign to Israel that he is the Son of God. That's the one sign that they had proven that he is the Son of God, and on and on. But Jesus Christ went up to the Father, received the Holy Ghost from God the Father, and Jesus Christ baptized those who had been baptized with water. Jesus baptized them with the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 2 again. In Acts chapter 2, and please observe, there are only 12, no more. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That'll be the 11 apostles of 126 plus the one, in other words, the total of 12. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now come down to verse 12. The people that saw all this now, verse 12, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Please observe, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and on and on and on. Folks, there are only 12 men baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not 9, not 13, not 11. There is 12 men and no women. Please observe that there are women in the 120. Go back to chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, on and on. Well, obviously then, there's 120 with women in the 120, but no 120 received any Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It is men. These men, they said, are full of new wine, but that isn't all. Notice that after Peter preached unto them, look in verse 37 of chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice they didn't ask anybody anything but the apostles. Go to Mark chapter 16 and notice why. In Mark 16, verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, just a moment now. It said 11, didn't it?
Yes.
All right. Hold on to Mark. Go back to Luke 24 and take John chapter 20. Luke 24. And John 20. Now, I think this is very significant. You may not. Notice in Luke 24. In Luke 24, a time is the same day, Luke 24:1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, on and on. So it's the same time. Now, look in verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. They walked together and on, and Jesus went with them. I won't take time to read. And so he finally identified himself unto them. Now, notice in verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward evening, the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave to them. Their eyes were opened, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, bingo, he's gone. All right, verse 33, they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Now, wait a minute. It said 11, and them that were with them, so I know it's got to be more than one, so I'm going to put at least two. And there's two of them that come in to where they are, so I know there's at least 15 people in that room, is there not? Did y'all miss that?
Yeah.
Who said yes? There's at least 15 people in there. Now, but wait, I've got another problem. Go to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, notice the day, chapter 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark, and on and on. So it's the same time. Now, notice in he appears unto them, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Come down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Hold on, time out. Jesus Christ appeared there, and there were 11 disciples, weren't there? All right. Judas Iscariot had already betrayed him, hanged himself, and was dead. So if I take off Judas from the 12, that leaves 11, right? But Thomas wasn't there, so if I take Thomas off, that leaves 10, and yet in the room were 11 apostles. Okay? Thomas wasn't one of them. Judas wasn't one of them. So there's only one thing left. You have to know that Matthias was an apostle. He already had been selected by God long before. He had not been made known to the people and wasn't made known as an apostle until the 120 appeared, met there, and Peter talked to them, and they selected the two, and God showed them that he had chosen Matthias. So Matthias had to have been in that room that day after Jesus Christ had risen, and Jesus appeared unto Matthias along with the 10, Thomas being gone, Judas not there, so Matthias had to be one. Do y'all understand that? Anybody that does not understand that? All right. Now, back to the situation again. Mark 16. It is very important that you see this, folks, because, hey, there were more than 11, more people in that room than 11 apostles, and yet Jesus Christ did not talk to anybody but the 11 apostles that he had trained over here to be apostles over here. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, who? The 11. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He did not send 120 people. He did not send a church in the sense of 3,000 at Pentecost. He sent, actually, in this particular case, 11 men. But he had already sent the 12. So therefore, we know that there are 12 apostles that are baptized by Christ with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Why? Just as God the Father baptized Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit at his baptism back there, Jesus Christ baptized the 12 with the Holy Spirit over there. God the Father empowered the Son of God to perform the miracles that he performed, as Jesus Christ empowered the 12 to perform the miracles that they performed, and on and on and on it goes. So, there are two baptisms in there. It's not just that he baptized them with the Holy Spirit, and it's all over with there. There's still more. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. All right, in Acts chapter 10, Peter is in the house of Cornelius. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just as Jesus shed forth the Spirit on the 12, baptized the Spirit, them with the Spirit, so it is with Cornelius there, and on and on. But Cornelius not only is baptized with the Spirit, he's baptized with water. So there are two baptisms in there across the board. Now, you know something, folks? This is so simple if you don't complicate it. Don't let some Baptist pull your leg by manipulating the truth in Acts 10 or Acts 8 or something such as that. It's just simple. God laid it out for you, and Paul told you why he baptized people. By the way, any time that anybody tries to convince you that people ought to be baptized in water, the way to stop a conversation, the quickest way to stop a conversation is a little three-letter word, why. Isn't it? Somebody starts to just say, why. And after they, then you say, why. And then the next, you say, why. I mean, it's going to stop. Well, in this, it's the same thing here. In other words, why? Why would you need to be baptized anyway? why would Paul baptize anybody? So I tell you what you do. Ask them. I tell you what, just pull a $20 bill out and lay it on the table and say, I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you this $20 bill if you show me one place in the Bible where anybody, under any circumstance, was ever baptized unless that individual was worshiping God before they ever claimed to believe and then got baptized. Now, did y'all understand what I just said? Every individual in the book of Acts that gets baptized by water is an individual that is serving God previous to the time they heard the gospel that Jesus Christ had died, been buried, and risen. You understand? No exception to the rule. In fact, I would ask them to show me where a Gentile got baptized. Now, you see, some smart aleck from PBI, if you didn't know how to handle it, he'd probably try to show you one or two. But notice something about them. Turn, please, to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Right? No is right. To the Greek. Every time that a Gentile during the book of Acts is baptized in water, it's a translation of this word right here. He's an Hellenist. Anybody here named Helen? That's Greek. We'll call you Greek from now on. In other words, the people that were Greeks here had something going for them that the Gentiles didn't have going for them. They were in the covenants of promise. All the people that got baptized with water in here and baptized with the Holy Spirit are people that are in the covenant promises that are out of the Old Testament Scripture, not those of Ephesians and Colossians. Over and over you find that same situation in there. Paul never baptized anybody that wasn't worshiping God before he ever got to them. People say, well, how about the Philippian jailer? Especially the Philippian jailer. How about Lydia? In each case, they're going to a place of worship, and they're on and on and on. Now, but then people ignore that. Notice something. Turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. Now, this is fascinating. Acts 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I now make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue. Now, that's all I want to do. I want you to see. He's speaking in the Hebrew tongue. Now, watch what he said. Go to verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive my testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And look what happened. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices, and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that he should live. They cried out, cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air. You know what word he said? He said Gentile in the Hebrew tongue. He didn't say this word right here in Greek. He said Gentile. In other words, he said a word that's like an ugly word to them. For they looked back there and they saw the Gentiles, which were Egyptians that had them under bondage. They saw the Gentiles, which were Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. They saw the Gentiles, which were Media Persians. They saw all the Gentiles that had persecuted Israel down through the years. And the very idea that a man here would say that God has called him to go to the enemies of Israel, no way this man deserves to die, they said. If he would have said in the Greek, if he'd have been talking in Greek, and he said, I will send thee far hence unto the Greeks, They wouldn't have lifted a finger.
They wouldn't have said anything about that. Paul said to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
And he went to them over and over and over again in the book of Acts. And finally in Acts 28, he said, I turned to the Gentiles, and he turned to the Ephesians and the Colossians, and now we have one baptism. Turn please to Ephesians, and look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Just as there's one baptism in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is water, there is one baptism for the church with the body of Christ, and that baptism is the Spirit. In other words, by one Spirit, we're baptized in the one body. Now, I want you to see what that is. Turn the Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, in 1 Corinthians, you might also take Luke 6. Maybe we'd get both passages at one time. Luke 6, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Now, you make no mistake about this. You can carry this to the bank. This will work. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, wait a minute. Over 50% of the seminary graduates today deny the virgin birth, blood atonement, resurrection of Christ. They do not believe in the resurrection of Christ. They do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. I heard some loudmouth preacher on the news tonight. I didn't get the gist of what it all started about, but it had to do with Jews and Presbyterians and Baptists and all these people all being one. Some of you might have seen this, but some Methodist or something, Christ Church, I think it was called, said in effect that we're all in one family and on and on and on. Bill. We're not an all in one family. Jesus said unto some people that were very religious, far more religious than that rascal is, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He was a liar and a murderer and on, and make no mistake about it. We're not all in the same family unless we are led by the Holy Spirit. And we are not led by the Holy Spirit unless we believe that Jesus Christ paid for our sins at Calvary, was buried, and that God Almighty raised him from the dead, having forgiven us all trespasses. We are not led by the Holy Spirit. Now look what he said. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to get Luke 6 in a moment, but first turn to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, to say Lord with your mouth and call Jesus Lord from your heart are two different things. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word Lord is from a Greek word that's spelled Q-U-R-I-O-U-S. And the word means owner. In other words, you are bought with a price. Jesus Christ purchased you at Calvary, and for you to say, Lord, you are saying, I'm yours. You own me. You can do with me whatsoever you please. If you desire to cast me into hell, then may thy will be done. But if you desire to carry me up to heaven, then praise God for it. But to say Lord, as he's referring to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is to say, you own me, I am yours, I belong to you, have thine own way with me. And no man can say that except by the Holy Ghost. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Now you can just go around, Lord this and Lordy that, and on. I mean, you know, people do that all the time. That won't do it. That won't get it. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord is to confess that with His blood He bought you at Calvary, He paid for your sins at Calvary, and you belong to Him, lock, stock, and barrel, soul, mind, spirit, and everything. You're His, and He can do with you as He well pleases. You're His. You are, as it were, casting yourself upon His mercy and saying, be merciful unto me and save me, else I'll burn in hell. I can't help myself. You're Lord of my life. I'm turning, I'm just falling, I'm just relaxing, and I'm trusting you to save me from eternal damnation. No one can do that but by the Holy Ghost. You with me? Hey, if you miss that, you ain't going to see what I'm going to be talking about now. Luke chapter 6, notice something. In Luke 6, verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. All right then, how does the Holy Spirit identify an individual in the body of Christ? Turn to Romans chapter 10. By the words comes out his mouth. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, notice in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. In other words, the righteousness that is yours by faith does not question Jesus Christ coming down from glory, being born of the virgin, or question his resurrection from that. The faith that brings righteousness is not questionable. It does not question. It just believes. As Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and the word believe there is amen. The Hebrew word that Abraham believed God, Abraham amened God. God said, Abraham, your children are going to outnumber the stars of heaven. And the old man just bowed his head and said, amen. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God said Jesus Christ came down from glory, I believe it. If God said that he died for my sins at Calvary, I believe it. If God said that he raised him from the dead on the third day, I believe it. If God said that Jesus Christ paid for all my sins and that none of them are put to my account anymore, praise God, I believe it. The faith that brings righteousness doesn't question it. Now look in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, in other words, commit trust, total trust, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, the Spirit of God, through your vocal cords, identifies you as a believer in the Son of God. Or
the spirit of evil that is in you identifies you as a son or child of the devil. Someone walks in the door. They say, I want to be a member of this congregation. How can I become a member of this congregation? I say, well, you can be a member here by your confession of faith. And that individual says, well, praise God, hallelujah, I repented of my sins, prayed through at the altar, laid down all my sins, been baptized for remission of sins, and I'm holding out to the end, keeping the commandments, praise God. I say, sorry, we couldn't allow you to be a member. We'd be happy to have you sit and listen. Somebody else come in and say, how can I be a member? I say, well, we receive members by confession of faith. And that man say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that the sinless Son of God paid for my sins at Calvary, and I'm trusting Him with all my heart. I believe that He paid for all my sins and God raised Him dead. I say, have a chair. We'd be glad to have you. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Turn, please, to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Now please observe, Him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, God the Father, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So the Spirit of Almighty God confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. Watch. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, testified that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn, please, to Matthew 17. In Matthew 17, notice in verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While He yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Bless your soul. The Spirit of Almighty God said that I am a son of God. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Where do I find that? Look in Romans chapter 8. This book is the words of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and on. Now come down to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does the Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God? Through the Word of God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God said that to me. I believe that, and I am saved. And being saved, I am a son of God. Now, what am I talking about? How does the Holy Spirit then identify us in the body of Christ? By the words that come out our mouth. We being led by the Holy Spirit say the words of God with our mouth, confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior. And those who are led by the Spirit of God never ever exalt themselves in their testimony, nor do they exalt the Holy Spirit in their testimony. Turn, please, to John and look back in John. I believe it'll be chapter 16.
in John 16, notice verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit never brags upon himself. The Holy Spirit, speaking through an individual, brags upon Christ, brags upon the cross, preaches the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Holy Spirit identifies us in the body of Christ as the Holy Spirit speaks through us, saying, Jesus Christ was crucified for my sin. Jesus Christ was buried and rose again for my justification. I am saved by the grace of God. I am a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And on it goes. The Holy Spirit leads that confession. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Baptism. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. We identify the members of the body by the confession comes out of their mouth as they speak by the Holy Spirit.